Zena, I'll always love you.
Yeah, there was a time I didn't like the love, I liked the climbers. There was no sister then, was running out of time and one-liners. I was afraid, like you are when you're too young, to know the time. And so I watched the way you take your fear and hoard the horizon point. You have a word for every woman you can lay your eyes on, like you own, just because you bought the time. You turn to me, you say you hope I'm not threatened. Oh, I'm not that petty. As cool as I am, I thought you know this already. I will not be afraid of women. I will not be afraid of women.
Welcome, everyone, to Zena and Uber's podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 101. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hello and welcome back to everyone. We are on episode number 101. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone for all the emails and the congratulations on achieving 100. It is a great feeling, a great milestone. And, look, I'm hoping to sit in for the long haul. I'm hoping to be around for another 100. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We never know what might happen. You know, I might win the lottery or something. As if. But it's been great. I've enjoyed coming along and doing things and changing things, as you can hear from the very first episode to the latest episode. And we have gotten more confident in our show, more happy to do certain things. we're not even going to mention what those certain things are. And so thank you for everybody sending in. And yes, in regards to the recipes, please continue to send them in. I will love to have them, put them on the show. I'll put them on the blog spot. Your recipes, a friend's recipes, your partner's recipes, your grandmother's, your mother's, whoever, send them in. I'll put them on and link them on to the show, as I've done. I've gotten some positive feedback that people have gotten tried some of the recipes and really enjoyed it. So send me an email with the recipe and I'll put it on. And if you have a story that you want to have tried read on the show, send it in. I'll give it a review and hopefully put it on the show. And if not, you know, if I don't actually get to read it on the show, what I can do is I'm thinking of creating a link, just like the Athenium, where you actually put stories on and people can just go over there and read any story that somebody else has written up. So if you think that's a really good idea, send me an email. Tell me yes, tell me no, tell me go fly a kite. You know, it's okay. I don't mind. Just not in the rain. So let's get on with the show and rock on. Well, according to the sound, as you can hear the turning of the pages, we have our time for our book recommendation. Now, this week I'm not going to recommend a book per se, but I am going to recommend a story. Now, over at the Athenium, as everybody knows, you have all the Zena fiction stories, Uber, CSI, Law and Order, just to list a few off the top of my head. I remember recommending this a while back from somebody else who had sent it to me, and I don't remember what episode it was, but I recently read the story True Colors. Now, let me say that it was a great story. It actually was something that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. Now, True Colors by Karen Surtees and Prophor Blue, Nan Dunn. It's about 163 pages. It's a finished novel. It's a really, really good story. It leaves you not hanging, but it leaves you wondering, wow, that the depth of the characters, the background details, it all ties in very nicely. It gives you the whole picture as you read it. So I would highly recommend you going over to the Athenium, which is xenofiction.net, and click on the search button, go to True Colors, and or type in Karen Surtees or Prophor Blue, and it comes up. They have a sequel to it, and it's called Many Roads to Travel. You can read that one as well. That's the sequel as well. I haven't read that one yet, but that's one of my next things to do, one of my next projects. So check it on out. And if you have any other book recommendations, send me an email, as usual. Also, the song snippet you hear on this week's show is sent in to me by one of my listeners. Thank you, Tina. I appreciate it. And it's called As Cool As I Am by Dar Williams.
You snapped, haven't you?
Well, that leads us into the thought of the week from Bobby. Our quote of the week this week is from Hannah Withall Smith, and it goes like this. The true secret of giving advice is, after you honestly have given it, to be perfectly indifferent to whether it is taken or not, and never persist in trying to set people right. So thank you to Bobby for that, and that was Hannah Withall Smith.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, by that sound, you all know that it's time to announce the website. Over at AUSXIP, Mary D's site for all the Xena Multimedia News Network on everything Xena, from guest appearances, interviews, characters on different shows that have come up, all stemming from the Xena thing. We have information regarding the latest news on the 3rd of March, the official Leslie Ann Brandt site on AUSXIP. Mary D says that she's very pleased to announce the birth of a new site on AUSXIP, the AUSXIP Leslie Ann Brandt News and Multimedia. This time it's a little bit different from the norm. Leslie Ann, or Navia, on Spartacus Blood and Sand has approved the site and become her official site. The site will feature news and multimedia, what you normally expect from AUSXIP, but it will also have a blog by Leslie Ann to keep you updated on all about Spartacus and other projects. Also, they have Aaron Cummings on a magazine, and the interview with Nick Tarabay, who is Asher on Spartacus. All the latest information on Spartacus Blood and Sand, on Crystal Chappelle, and the 2010 Xena Conventions photos that they have updated. Over on Renee O'Connor's website, the latest news on that one says that the March newsletter is up. They have a great segment with Michael Moore opening the premiere of Rich Brower's feature film, Fitful. And they also have changed the name of the Rock Members newsletter. It's now being called Video Channel. We think this is a better description for what we are providing, news and original videos to detain and inspire you. So check that out over on ReneeO'Connor.net. And then in the LucyReneeHQ.com, Emma's changed the format once again, and it's got quite a good setup, so you can check it out. You have different tabs to go for the home, images, boards, TVs, online, latest Spartacus news, latest Lucy news, latest news on pictures and interviews and videos, Twitter from Sharon. So check it out. That's over at LucyReneeHQ.com. A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, Part 13. With a sigh, Effany walked over and sat down. Overreacted, didn't I? Yeah. Pony dabbed at the still leaking blood around her nose. Think I'd know better, yeah? Hades, she's got a fast hands. Effany folded her fingers together and rested her chin against them. I should go make up with her. I think she's due an apology. For no apparent reason, Pony snorted in painful laughter. What's so funny? Effany took the linen and cleaned some of the blood off. Great hair, Pone. Looks like you rammed a tree.
Or an apology.
Pony muttered, letting her head rest on Effany's shoulder.
She got me good. Real good. Had a bet on.
Ah. Effany hummed in understanding. She won.
Mm-hmm.
Pony sighed.
Made me promise to have our kid.
Even in the chatter of the now crowded stadium, Effany could feel the silence as stunned sensation overcame her.
Good old Gab. Never easy.
Ah. You what? Xena resisted the urge to rub her ear, so she was sure she'd heard wrong.
Well, you know what they were arguing about.
Gabrielle watched pensively as Xena wiped the dry blood off her hands. Gabrielle, you could have just let them work it out, the warrior said with a mildly exasperated look in her partner's direction. Flip a coin. Draw straws. She let her voice trail off when there wasn't any answer. She looked up to see a tired, somewhat lost expression on her soulmate's face.
Hey,
Never thought I'd see this.
Gabriel murmured.
What?
Xena asked gently.
You, cleaning blood off my hands.
Xena was momentarily struck dumb. The air went out of her chest with a soft grunt, and she could only sit there, gazing at Gabriel in hurt silence. After a few heartbeats, the bard shook herself and reached out to clasp Xena's hands.
God, I'm sorry, Z. I don't know what the Hades got into me there.
Her brow creased.
I think I need a cookie or something.
Cookie?
Dory plucked at Gabriel's tunic. What exactly did I do to deserve that? Xena asked, abruptly, removing her hands from Gabrielle's. Or she tried, anyway. As though anticipating the motion, the bard simply went with it, her fingers gripping tightly and refusing to release.
Boo?
Dory looked anxiously at her.
You didn't do anything. I did.
Gabrielle lowered her voice, but gazed into her partner's eyes with intense sincerity.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry.
She nibbled her lower lip.
I'm having to reconcile the image I have in my mind of who I was with reality of what I am.
Xena blinked a few times, her eyes flicking back and forth for a second before she looked up again.
Something wrong with who you are?
She asked with a frown. Gabrielle's expression cleared, the tension falling from it in a visible ripple.
No.
She let her free hand fall to tussle Dory's hair.
Nothing at all.
The warrior let out a breath. Forgive me for being clueless, self-indulgent brat.
You weren't. I was. I am.
Gabrielle edged over, pressing her leg against her partner's.
And you've lived with me long enough to know it.
She added in a much lower voice.
The fight with Pony shook me up. I didn't really expect to beat her.
Xena snorted. Gabrielle, Eppin is a great fighter and a kick-ass Amazon.
Well, that was my point.
But you passed her skills years ago. It was Gabrielle's turn to be struck dumb. And now it was Xena's turn to gentle her voice. I know it's hard for you to think of yourself like that. She visited her soulmate with a look of quiet compassion. Almost as hard as it is for me to think of myself as some kind of half-assed hero.
You're not a half-assed hero.
Gabrielle bristled. Then her face scrunched into bemusement as she found an ironic eyebrow lifting against her.
Okay,
she sighed.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They sat quietly together for a few minutes, watching the crowd go by, pretending not to look at them. The wall was short enough for Xena's feet to touch the ground, but Gabrielle's boots were an inch or two high, and she kicked against them the stone surface in a gently rhythmic way. Finally, the bard exhaled.
Two more, huh?
Two more. Xena agreed, wiping a brow with a forearm. She'd battled through three bouts, and was glad her last opponent had forfeited halfway through. The heat was bothering her more than she'd expected, and this bit of emotional intensity with Gabrielle hadn't helped.
Here.
A cold droplet of water hit the skin on her thigh, and Xena looked up to find a water skin being held out to her. She took it and pulled the cork, sucking the liquid out gratefully. When she finished, she let the skin drop. Gabrielle had Dory in her lap, and she was hugging the toddler to her, a look of peace finally on her face.
How's your knee doing?
The bard asked.
Looks a little swollen.
Surprised, Xena looked down and then grunted.
Yeah, a little. I twisted it during the last mix-up in there.
She thumped a fist against it.
Not too bad, though, considering.
Considering it was broken a couple of days ago? No.
Gabrielle agreed.
You going to be okay, though? Isn't the last one the tough one?
Xena scowled.
You could let...
Gabrielle...
me give you a back rub.
The bard rose deftly and piled Dory onto her partner's lap before circling her and leaping over the wall. She laid her hands on Xena's shoulders, feeling the tension in them before she flexed her fingers and started to work. She felt a little conspicuous, since they were getting a lot of curious stares, but she was a bard after all, and she should be used to that. Besides, she discovered a knot just to one side of Xena's spine and concentrated on that instead, her fingers gently coaxing the heavy banded muscles into loosening. Gabrielle had learned over the years that sometimes all the talking in the world just didn't do the trick, especially with someone like Xena. Touch, contact,
closeness. Just the act of her being right up against her partner's body, stroking her, letting their senses merge together to relax both of them.
The atmosphere's a lot different today,
Gabrielle murmured after a few minutes of comfortable silence.
They were cheering you in the pit.
Xena nodded. Better than getting rotten fruit toast at me, I guess.
Isn't that sort of strange, though?
The warrior shrugged. What isn't here? She asked Riley. You probably have a lot to do with that.
Me?
Gabrielle frowned to herself, then realized what Xena meant.
Oh, last night.
A nod. Don't you see all them looking at us?
I've been trying not to.
Fickle.
Who, me?
Xena rolled her head around and gazed back at her shoulder, a very droll look on her face. Dory, who was wrapped in that warrior's arms, also turned around to watch her. Gabrielle stuck out her tongue at both of them and continued her kneading.
Did you see what your mama just did?
She asked Dory, in mock disapproval. Dory stuck her tongue out in imitation. Xena chuckled.
She's your daughter, all right. Look at that face.
Yeah.
Gabrielle had to agree, laughing a little herself.
That's my girl.
Beneath her hands, she felt the last tension loosen and reduced her kneading to light, gentle circles over thumbs.
You ready?
She asked, seeing the crowd start to meander back to their seats.
I'm ready.
The warrior agreed. This was an easy one. Just me and the discus. Privately, she hoped the confidence was justified. She didn't have to fight against any whales, but this event would test her injured knee to its limit. Hi. Xena and Gabrielle both looked up to find Pony Anthony looking back at them.
Hi.
Xena drawled in response.
Sit down.
The two Amazons seated themselves on the wall, one on either side of the warrior. They glanced at each other, then up at Gabrielle. Sensing a sensitive chat impending, Xena readied herself to rise.
Well, time to...
Anthony put a bold hand on her thigh, holding her down.
Hang on a minute.
With an imperceptible sigh, Xena sat back down, feeling the silent chuckles Gabrielle leaned against her. Indulging in emotional scenes with a soulmate was one thing, and Xena had come to accept that. Doing it with other people, on the other hand, made her itch.
Go, Boo! Boo! Go, 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 go!
Dory burbled, articulating her parents' feelings with startling precision.
Boo! Juha! Go in! Go get fishies!
Listen, Effie was, surprisingly, the chosen spoken Amazon.
Your Majesty, I'm sorry I overreacted the way I did. You didn't.
Gabrielle interrupted her speech.
I'd have probably just waded in and started slugging people.
Effie gave her a look.
That doesn't say much about either of us as leaders, she remarked wryly.
No.
The bard shrugged lightly.
But we're both mothers, and that's what mothers do. They take care of people they love.
Her eyes twinkled gently at Eponin.
You'll see.
Her regent sighed. Gabrielle, please don't take any offense, but do you know how galling it is for me to have to take lessons in life from your 22-year-old self?
Sorry, Grandma.
Gabrielle replied, smiling as her hands felt the silent snickers shaking Xena's frame.
I was lucky. I had a great teacher.
She circled the warrior's shoulders abruptly and hugged her.
So, are we all right now?
Anthony shook her head, then nodded it.
Yeah.
She ruffled her fingers through her curly hair. Except for one thing. Two sets of green eyes and one set of blue eyes fastened on the Amazon Reason's face.
And that is?
Xena spoke up first, in a low rumble. Effie exchanged glances with her partner, then put on a martyred look as it became apparent Pony wasn't going to let a word pass her clamped lips.
Since you've got the answer to everything, my queen.
She let a smile take any possible sting from the words.
Got any ideas for a father?
The words fell, and silence crept after them, filling the space between the four friends. Gabrielle's head cocked in thought for a moment.
Well,
she finally pronounced.
I'm sorry, but you can't borrow Xena.
She waited patiently for the various choking noises and warrior-like chortles to cease.
But, you know, maybe I do.
She thought about an idea and grinned.
Yeah.
Sunset. Xena stood near the far gate of the stadium, watching the light turn crimson, her back at the crowd. She was dressed in her leathers and armor. In this, the last event, all pretenses to being a game were dropped and the combatants were just that.
Her sword was clipped to her back in its worn leather sheath, but she left the shock room with Gabrielle and slipped the two daggers into her boots instead. The coming twilight had lifted a breeze across the city, and she faced into it, enjoying the coolness that brushed across her face and whipped her hair back. Behind her, the excitement was rising perceptibly. The crowd knew what was coming next, the pit fight, and though their veneer of civility, their urge for blood was now showing. Her sensitive hearing picked up eager voices, placing bets. Resolutely, she twitched her ears forward and leaned against the gate, absorbing the scant moments of peace she would have before the final battle started. In silence, she took stock of herself, as she usually did before a fight. It had been a long day, but she'd seen longer. She'd done a lot, but compared to a full day's battle, it amounted to not much at all. Her knee hurt a little, twisted in making her winning discus throw, but it still felt solid, and she wasn't worried about it failing her now. She had a belly full of water, courtesy of Gabrielle and her water skin, and two very juicy peaches from the same source, and a roasted duck leg with a little too much pepper on it. Xena licked her lips, and a small, very tasty cake that had cherries and nuts in it. A whiff of burning oil reached her, and she knew if she turned, she'd see the torches being lit. Around the stadium, that was packed so full of people it seemed more like a mass of robes and wagging jaws. The dropping sun touched the tops of the buildings and spread a golden blanket over them. Xena felt it wash over her, bringing her destiny with it. To her right, she spotted her chief adversary emerging from the tunnel, his body draped in his well-made armor and his skin glistening with oil. From her peripheral vision, she saw him turn to watch her. She held a casual pose, indulging herself in a slow, jaw-cracking yawn. He moved on towards the pits, and Xena smiled to the sunset. As the competitor with the highest ranking, she knew she had time, and to her advantage, she'd only have to fight in the last round. A prickle of back made her stiffen, though, and she set her jaw as a familiar presence popped into view just to her left. With studied patience, she turned her head, letting a coldness settle over her features. She remained silent, only lifting an eyebrow.
"Xena, Xena, Xena."
Ares circled her and leaned against the wall, folding his arms across his leather-covered chest.
"What am I going to do with you, huh?"
"Nothing." Xena turned her eyes back out to the sunset and ignored him.
"Oh, we're cranky, huh? Are we a little tired?"
"Of you? Always." Ares circled her and blocked her view, forcing her to look at him.
"Come on, Xena. We didn't used to be like this with each other."
"Things change," Xena told him steadily. "I have a natural dislike of things that attempt to kill me. Call me crazy, but there you go."
"Oh, Xena. Xena. No one was trying to kill you."
Ares lifted his hands and let them fall.
"You just get cooped up for a little while, that's all,"
he said.
"You're the one who set the place on fire."
"Rescuing Gabrielle, who was beaten half to death," Xena growled softly. "Did you forget that part?" The god of war rolled his eyes.
"Does it always have to be about her?"
he asked plaintively. Xena shifted her eyes again, this time studying a nearby market wall. Ares watched her for a long moment, then sighed. His eyes flicked around, then he took a step closer to her, pausing as he saw the muscles shiver into alertness and the intoxicating aurora of danger lift around her. She was one of a kind, and he had to smile in acknowledgement of it, before he cocked his head and put his hands on his hips.
"All right."
The bearded face managed a somewhat contrite expression.
"I'm sorry."
A dancing Cerebus in a toga would have been less surprising. Xena's head swiveled and she looked right at him, both eyebrows hiking up. "What?" He rolled his eyes again.
"I said I'm sorry, okay? She wasn't supposed to get hurt. They were just supposed to arrest her."
Blue eyes blinked at him, wearily.
"Look, it was the best idea I could come up with,"
Ares said, a trifle desperate.
"Nobody was supposed to get her. Just be out of the way and a little ticked off."
"Bad idea." Ares gave her a look. Xena judged the intelligence of continuing to provoke her old mentor, and realized if he was holding out an olive branch, maybe it was a smart idea to take it. "Ares, I didn't come here to mess with you, so I'm sorry it turned out that way."
"Yeah."
He snorted softly.
"Texas, right?"
Xena shrugged. God of War, leaned against the gate next to her, so that they were side by side, their heads on a level, in almost the same posture.
For want of some taxes, my sword was lost,
he mused.
Lousy ring to it, Xena.
Don't bother with the guilt trip on me, Ares.
A shrug. Could be worse people to have that sword, Xena. At least you know me.
He told her.
You're not stupid enough to believe you won't be of interest to whoever has it, are you?
They looked at each other quickly, then away. Beat up old over-the-hill ex-warlord. Xena taunted him with his own words. Why would they be? Ares smiled enigmatically.
Careful you don't lose by winning, Xena.
He told her, then raised his hands and snapped his fingers, disappearing in a faint blue flash. Xena let out a held breath, feeling a trifle unsettled. Ares had the effect on her. Though she felt confident in her abilities when she challenged him, in the back of her mind was the knowledge that he was, after all, a god. A god who always, always had an interest in her. Xena gazed somberly into the fading light. At first, she put down to the natural interest of a god in a talented acolyte. She'd always had a warrior's mind, and the budding skills to match, and it had never seemed strange to her that it was Ares who laid his eternal hand on her. Was it still that? Was it ever that? Her conscience nudged her, and she firmly put the thought aside, as she always did. Unfortunately for Ares, she decided, she'd outgrown him at some point. She'd gone past his narrow focus and become someone, something he had no idea what to do with. Well, she had no intention of telling him. Xena pushed off the wall and took a moment to compose herself before she turned and, lifting her head in stolid confidence, strode back into the stadium. Gabrielle wormed her way forward between surprised citizens and guards. Her eyes were fixed on her destination, though, and it would take more than the gathered masses of Athens to keep her from it.
"Excuse me."
She got past the last obstacle, a very large woman who smelled disconcertingly like figs.
"Sorry." "Well, I never."
The woman gasped if she was cut off.
"Then you should,"
Gabrielle muttered, ducking a man's arm and ending up right against the wall, around the fighting pit. It wasn't the best place to watch from. That was reserved for the seats behind her, but it was as close as you could get to the people inside the clay hole, so for her, it was perfect. She leaned against the wall and rested her elbows on top of it, content with a view that featured a tall, dark-haired woman in brown leathers, standing silently to one side. There were 10 competitors in the pit, and on the other 9, all men, were busy flexing and pacing, self-consciously wrapping and rewrapping armor as they waited. Not Xena. The warrior made a point of being just that, obvious in her experience. Battle-hardened nerves, lending her body a poise more common to the Athenian guards standing around the perimeter of the pit. Gabrielle let her partner's form fill her vision, concentrating on her alone, and blocking out any of the many distractions of the stadium. Xena was leaning against one of the clay walls, her arms folded in her long, muscular legs, crossed casually at the ankles. Her leathers, freshly brushed and spiffed up by Gabrielle's own hands, seemed to absorb light, making her armor plate stand out even more than they usually did. The clasp on her breastplate shifted slightly as the warrior turned her head to watch something, and Gabrielle caught a tiny glimpse of the tattoo just underneath it. Just then, the roving blue eyes captured hers with an almost palpable intensity. Gabrielle watched Xena's angular face crease into a smile, and felt her own lips move into a returning one automatically. Slowly, the warrior arms uncrossed, and she shaped a casual hand signal.
"Aw."
Gabrielle mimicked the motion.
"I love you too, honey."
The hunting hand signals had been one of the later things Xena had taught her, and learning this particular one remained one of her fondest memories. Flashback. It had all started with a sore throat. A very sore throat, in fact. They belonged to a very miserable Xena. 2 weeks of rain, a fall chill in the air, and she was glad they found a nice, dry cave to hole up until the sickness racking her aggravated friend passed. Gabrielle added a few more fragrant leaves to the soup on the fire, and stood up, dusting off her hands as she walked back over the neatly made barrel on the other side. She knelt beside the still form lying on them, and hesitated a moment, rubbing her fingertips a little before she reached out and put a hand on Xena's forehead. They'd been traveling together for years, of course, but this was the first time they were out on the road since his stay in Amphipolis when their relationship had changed, becoming intimate. She still had to think twice, even though she knew Xena welcomed her touch. Hades. Even the thought of Xena welcoming her touch still caused a chill to go up and down her spine, and she often fought down the urge to pinch herself. Every time those blue eyes she'd admired for so long warmed sensually when they fell on her. Well, there wasn't much sensuality right now. Unfortunately, more bloodshot misery in the look she got as her fingers fitted themselves to the warrior's forehead.
"Hey," she said, "how are you feeling?"
Xena swallowed, producing a wince, then one hand emerged from the furs and closed to a tight fist before releasing and lifting up to touch her throat.
"Hurts, huh?"
A thumbs up.
"I've got some soup on."
Thumbs down, then a swift clenching and unclenching of that long-fingered hand.
"Not hungry?"
The hand slowly closed into a fist.
"What hurts, Xena?"
Open hand, fingers spread.
"Everything?"
Thumbs up.
"Aw."
Gabriel eased closer, sitting down and running her fingers through the warrior's disordered hair, part of her marveling yet again at the open acceptance of the intimate touch.
"How about if I make you some tea, with lots and lots of honey in it, and those nice mint leaves I found the other day?"
Xena smiled faintly. Gabriel's eyes dropped to her hand. After a pause, it lifted and tapped its owner's chest lightly, then turned upward, cupping empty hair in a curiously gentle gesture. Then it shifted, and a thumb pointed towards her. Gabriel frowned, racking her brain for the unfamiliar second-hand signs. She couldn't recall Xena ever using that one before, even during the long nights they spent around the campfire, when she learned the silent language. Finally, she looked down to find Xena watching her.
"Okay,"
she admitted.
"You got me. I don't know that one. I don't think you showed me that. Have you used it before?"
Xena's hand dropped to rest on Gabriel's thigh. The expression on her face was a mixture of wistfulness and joy, and she slowly shook her head in an answer to the question. Then she repeated the second sign, the cupping of her palm. She captured the bard's hand after that and brought it to her lips, then looked up, one eyebrow edging up in question. Gabriel felt like melting into a puddle, just right there.
"Oh."
She cupped her free hand and gazed at it.
"That means love, right?"
Thumbs up.
"Oh, wow. That's so cool,"
Gabriel blurted.
"Now I can use it too."
He started to make the sign, then found her hand held still. Surprised, she looked down at Xena, puzzled as the warrior untangled her own hand from the furs and lifted it to touch her face gently, just next to her eyes. The tired blue eyes twinkled.
"You mean, I don't need it, right?"
Thumbs up.
"I wear my heart on my sleeve, is that it?"
A nod. Gabriel leaned closer, feeling the joy of the moment, despite everything.
"Well, I've got news for you, Xena,"
she said, watching those eyes fasten on her, the soul behind them open to her at last.
"So do you."
Xena grinned wryly, touching her fingertips together, in the sign for a successful hunt. Gabriel grinned back, putting her hand on Xena's head, without a second thought now. End flashback. Gabriel propped her chin up on her fist and wished the battle were over. She had no doubt at all that Xena would win in the end. But as many times as she watched a soulmate prove her fighting prowess, as many times as she'd seen her emerge victorious, she still found herself tied in knots. She just never knew. Maybe in the back of her mind, she wryly acknowledged, she still remembered that swinging log out of nowhere, and the sickening crunch of shattering bone, and the blood, Xena's blood on her hands, as she cradled her. With a sigh, she shifted, glancing around her in the crowd closing in. Xena had made one request of her, and she'd honored it, to take Dory out of the stadium for this last event and not let her watch. Dory, of course, had fiercely protested, but Gabriel had understood. She understood that this was different. There was a risk here. That she had the very unfamiliar weight of the chakram hanging quietly at her belt, with the knowledge of when and exactly how to use it. Given that she had an excellent chance of cutting her own thumb off, she hoped it was knowledge that she'd never have to use. Xena was rested. She was in great condition, and she had a plan. It should just be a piece of cake, right? Gabriel found Xena still watching her. She lifted a hand and made another sign, getting a slight grin and a nod in return. Be careful. By the time it was Xena's turn, she was twitching. It was a trifle embarrassing thing to find out, at her age, that she still couldn't watch a fight without wanting to jump into it. It was an impulse she only barely kept in check when she was training the troops in Amphipolis, and now she had to put her hands behind her back and lean on them as she watched the belt in front of her. She'd always been that way, even as a kid. How many times had her mother come outside, cursing and wiping her apron to find a scrabble of village children tussling in the dusty yard outside, with her right in the middle, the worst of it. Now, the clay circle emptied as she brought her hands to the front, flexing them as a surge of pleasant anticipation flowed through her. She walked towards the marked-off area, which is surrounded by a short brick wall, and stepped over it jauntily with a jaunty little bounce. She could feel the crowd above her, hear the buzz, smell the excitement, as she let herself react to it as her opponent entered the ring and stood for a moment, watching her wearily. He was tall, and reminded her eerily of Palamon, with scruffy blonde hair and an almost identical scar bisecting his face. He was wearing a nicely detailed set of well-made armor, its joints worn enough to her skilled vision to indicate someone who knew his business and who was worthy of the leather he was wrapped in. Good. Xena moved to the center of the circle, settled her boots, and felt her center of balance come up over the balls of her feet. Then she just let her hands rest against the thighs and waited. For good measure, she graced her opponent with a lifted eyebrow and a grin. He was scared. She could smell it. But he girded his loins and came towards her with a determined courage plastered all over his face, earning him a solid point with Xena. He squared off against her, and now he waited also, glancing back at the judge. The bell chimed. Xena allowed her focus to narrow down to this young man opposite her. His breathing quickened as he reached back and drew his sword out, a long well-made weapon with an iron hilt. He shifted it in his hand and paused, waiting for her to do the same. With a smooth motion, Xena did so, shaping her fingers around the well-worn hilt of her sword, and then drawing it with a sense of almost seductive pleasure. With a few subtle shifts of her fingers, she positioned the blade just so, then went very still, her eyes locking with his. And then she struck. Her legs uncoiled and lifted her body up as her arms moved, bringing the sword down, drawing him to the stroke before she planted her boot and shifted direction. Their blades clashed, and she powered through the motion, driving through his defenses and up, in a full body swing that ripped the sword right out of his hand and sent it flying out of the ring. It crashed against the far wall and fell to the ground with a dull thud. In the shocked silence that followed, Xena smiled and relaxed, twirling her sword hilt in her hand and letting the blade roll over her forearm before she caught it. "Think you lost something?" She indicated the blade with a jerk of her head, just before the crowd recovered and let out a roar. A boy ran over and grabbed the sword, dragging it back with him to the ring and offering it to its owner. Xena's opponent rubbed his hand on his leg and flexed his fingers before he took the hilt, hefting it and giving a shake of his head before he turned and faced her again. He took a deep breath, re-squared his blurred shoulders, and returned to the fight.
"Boy, she sure is on."
Effany thumped the wall against next to Gabrielle.
"On what?"
The bard ripped her eyes from her partner's figure and glanced to her right, then to her left as Effany bracketed her other side.
"Where have you guys been?"
"On as in hot,"
Pony observed, watching Xena avidly.
"Would you look at that move? How does she do that?"
"We were arguing about names." Effany folded her hands and gazed down at the fight.
"Gods, yeah. That overhand slice?"
"Names?"
Gabrielle spluttered.
"You were fighting about them?"
"Yeah, for the baby."
Pony grunted.
Oh, he got her. Oh, now, wow. She just pulled straight up from that."
"Didn't you guys?" Effany asked. "Names are rough." Gabrielle worked hard at sorting out the various threads of this conversation.
"You know how she does that all. She works at it," she said. "And sure, we discussed names."
"See?" Effany shrugged.
"We did wait until after I was pregnant, though,"
Gabrielle added.
"For a few months." "Ah, like 9?
Pony edged up against the wall.
"Oh!"
Gabrielle turned her eyes back to the pit for a moment, suppressing a grin as Xena gracefully ducked a roundhouse slash and used her opponent's momentum to gain an advantage, her blade whipping around, slamming him full on in the ribs with a very audible crack. With the flat. The bard knew her partner was just playing with him at this point, and she suspected he knew that too. She could see the sweat gathering on his brow as he recovered, and struggled gamely on as Xena bounded away from him, all quick silver motion as her blade moved with blinding speed.
"So did you decide?"
"Hasn't lost a step," Effany murmured.
"Odd name for a kid,"
the bard remarked dryly. Effany chuckled.
"Eh,
you know how it is. We're thinking of maybe Melosa or Therese. One of their traditional names.
Gabriel mused over that. What if it's a boy?
Miles,
Pony stated with certainty. Her queen gave her a skeptical look. Miles? What kind of name is that?
Because that's how long she's going to have to run if I've got to go through this whole damn thing, then not get to keep it.
Pony replied with a growl.
Oh.
Gabriel patted her on the shoulder.
Gotcha.
Those guys are all so out of their league, Effany muttered. Gods, I'd forgotten just how brilliant a swordswoman she is.
How could you forget that?
Pony shook her head.
Aw, crap. She just jumped right over his head. That poor kid.
Effany watched for a moment as the torches, light flickered over Xena's tall form. The warrior had just executed a figure-8 sword stroke, the tendons on her wrist standing out visibly, as she directed the weapon with pinpoint precision. Perfect. Her opponent's sword went flying again, and this time Xena sent the flan flying out of the ring after it with a roundhouse kick. The crowd roared its approval as Xena flipped her sword over, catching it in midair, and whirling it through a couple of fancy designs. The bell rang. One down. Effany could feel the crowd's excitement rising as the next man entered the ring. The favorite, she remembered, as she heard the whispers around her. Or was he? Her ears caught conversations, half hushed, and she frowned. Gabrielle. She turned to see her friend gazing quietly at her own hands, a curious expression on her face. Gab. The bard's head turned, and darkened green eyes met hers. Effany drew in a breath as her skin prickled, completely unused to the kind of expression she now found on Gabrielle's face. But after a moment, the fair lashes fluttered close and then open, and the look was gone, replaced by a gentler, more familiar one.
"Can I ask you what you were just thinking about?"
she blurted. Gabrielle considered for a moment.
"No,"
she replied quietly.
"Okay."
Effany ran a hand through her hair.
"Listen, you know this crowd was really going for Xena."
The bard nodded.
"Yeah."
She glanced around.
"Go figure."
"Yeah." The Amazon regent murmured. "Go figure." Something, she realized, wasn't right. She just didn't know what it was. Yet. Xena found a ledge to perch on and took possession of it, resting her elbows on a second as she watched her enemy fight. She was happy with her bout, and she felt good, nice and loosened up and ready for more. For a long time, after the war with Andreas, she had been ambivalent about her reborn urge to fight. She participated in the training with the troops, of course, but she felt guilty doing it, part of her remembering that year when her weapons had stayed locked in a trunk, and she'd imagined she left that darker part of herself behind. And, too, the violence she experienced during the war had haunted her. She'd come so close to letting the demon inside her take over again that it had made it hard for her to take the same joy in fighting that she did in days past. To her surprise, it had been Gabrielle who had gotten her past that. After dinner one night, her partner had come to her as she sat out on the porch, watching the sunset. The bard had asked her to start back up their sparring sessions, saying simply Xena was the only one she felt she really learned from. How could she say no to that? They started slowly, but after a while, Xena found the evening bout something she strongly looked forward to, as working with Gabrielle, sharing her knowledge with her, brought her love of the battle back out and letting her enjoy fighting again. Maybe it was just that she loved doing most anything with Gabrielle, whatever the reason. Xena was grateful to her partner for it, and had been very pleasantly surprised when she realized that Gabrielle was having as much fun as she was. Xena watched the bout, her eyes taking in the fighters' forms with intent interest, knowing she'd have to encounter the larger of the two in not too much more time. He was good, she realized. Extremely good. His motions were fast and very strong, and she could tell by the way he fought that his experience had been gained in the battlefield, not the practice yard. He had a way of swiping his blade sideways that was very rare, speaking of extreme strength in his shoulders, and he was far more light in his feet than she expected. Dennis, champion of Athens. So, Xena. She leaned back against the stone wall, feeling a rock warm her back through her leathers with its sun-retained heat. You sure you can take this guy? Be a Hades of a thing to go through all this crap just to get your ass kicked, wouldn't it? That was not something she'd ever expected to hear from anyone else but herself. No one else would dare question her skills, not even Gabrielle, who came closest when she tried to get Xena to let her box earlier. It was more of an attempt to get her to rest, though. When it came to this kind of one-on-one combat, her partner's confidence in her was absolute. But Xena tried to be honest with herself.
She knew she was a very skilled fighter, with almost any weapon, and that she could do a lot of things that almost no one else could. However, she also knew that on any given day, she could be beaten by a combination of her opponent's skills and luck, and when she had an opponent this skilled, it bore thinking about. He had a lot at stake, his life, his liberty, his pride. Xena exhaled thoughtfully, considering whether she'd have thought about losing deliberately if things had been different. Her eyes fell briefly to the clay floor, then lifted, with a good dose of self-depreciation in them. No, she wouldn't. If he won fair, then he did, but she knew she wasn't capable of doing anything other than her very best in this particular arena. Part of it was ego, she freely admitted, but maybe part of it was also a lurking need to reassure herself that her skills she spent so many long hours honing were up to task when she really needed them. In any case, the challenge of facing off against the big ox in front of all Athens, not to mention Gabrielle, were stirring up all sorts of excitement inside her. And so, she watched carefully, soaking in his moves and his choices, committing to memory subtle shifts in his footwork and quirks of his technique as she was sure he'd done for her while she fought the bout before. He was rapidly overpowering his smaller opponent, the curly-haired man gamely trying to hold his ground, but giving away step by step as he was driven towards the edge of the stone circle. As he reached it, he blocked a blow desperately, throwing his body and all his strength against Dennis's sword. As though it was nothing, the bigger man merely locked his elbows and swept his blade through, its edge slicing through the other man's chest and sending a thin spray of blood over the ground.
Ah!
The curly-haired man stumbled and dropped to the earth, one arm clamped over his middle. He dropped his sword and curled up to him to a ball, rolling away from the ring. Dennis snorted and stepped over him, wiping the tip of his blade on the man's leather armor as the bell ended, the bout hastily rang. The crowd loved it. Xena could smell the sharp tang of blood rising, and she felt a distinct change in the watching eyes. Two other contestants edged around the moaning man and entered the ring, giving Dennis worried looks as they passed him. The champion resumed his seat and spread out his arms as two young boys tiled off his legs. The champion resumed his seat and spread his arms out as two young boys tiled his legs off. His eyes, though seeming casual, never let her out of their peripheral vision, and Xena now felt her own competitive nature surfacing in a big way. So, he had too little attendance, eh? Xena started to get up, but was halted by a gentle hand on her shoulder and the soft sensation of a cloth whispering over her skin. Since only one mortal being could get that close without her triggering her reflexes, she settled back against the wall and allowed Gabrielle to have her way with her.
"Didn't see you coming down here," she commented.
"I didn't like the way that creep was looking at you,"
Gabrielle explained.
"Besides, all these guys have their cute little minions, so I figured you deserve one too."
"You're not a minion,"
Xena protested, her ego contented with the eyes now watching her and her attractive caretaker.
"I am cute, at least,"
the bard teased. Xena slid her arm around her partner's conveniently placed thigh and rubbed the soft skin with the edge of her thumb.
"No, you're adorable,"
she said, keeping her eyes on the two fighters, but aware of Dennis's stare to her left.
"And gorgeous."
"Really?"
Gabrielle finished wiping Xena's face. She tucked the piece of cloth she scarfed from Anthony's into her belt, and then set to work her threading fingers through the warrior's long dark hair, sorting the strands and twisting them into a neat braid.
"Yeah."
Xena folded her hands over her stomach and crossed her ankles. Gabriel leaned against the wall behind her and continued her task, a pleased smile appearing on her face.
"The last fight you were in looked pretty easy."
Xena grunted and lifted one shoulder in a modest shrug.
"You should have heard F and Pony."
Gabriel leaned closer.
"They spent the whole time telling me how spectacular a warrior you were."
A blue eye rotated in her direction.
"Why they felt they had to tell me this, I have no idea,"
the bard went on, very blithely, very aware of the little pricked ears all around her.
"Of course, Greece, not to mention half the known world, telling stories about the amazing, incredible things you do, how you win every fight, outwit the gods, battle minotaurs."
She paused and bit her lower lip as a long forefinger ran itself very lightly down the back of her thigh.
"Defeat armies single-handedly."
The finger twitched.
"Conquer feckless bards."
Gabriel felt the shoulder under her hands shiver, as Xena chuckled soundlessly.
"Steal unsuspecting hearts."
Xena didn't look up at her at that, but her breath caught and her nostrils flared just a little.
"Steal?"
she asked in a studied, casual tone. Gabriel sighed exaggeratedly. So who could blame you for picking something up that was offered to you on a silver platter?
They were the very center of attention in the pit. Xena wiggled a boot contentedly. Dennis was scowling and apparently decided he wanted the spotlight back. Ignoring the two men now fighting in the ring, he stood up and threw off the light piece of linen his servants had draped over him. With only his loincloth on, he strutted over to the small warm-up area and picked up the weighted pole, stretching it across his shoulders and twisting his body in the torchlight. He definitely had a gorgeous body, Xena noted, with just enough scars to make the point that his skills had been earned the hard way. Spartan. The square shape of his head and the angles of his body marked him as that. How ironic it seemed to have him here in Athens, fighting for people in the city's greatest enemy. He motioned one of his attendants in the ring, and the boy joined him, picking up another warm stick and facing off against him bravely. They started a large sparring, the clacks of the prastis sticks echoing over the ground. The audience was torn between watching the somewhat lukewarm bout and this more interesting diversion.
"That's not really fair," Gabriel said, leaning on Xena's shoulder. "He's hogging the lamplight."
Xena agreed. "You're right." She got up, stretching her body out fully. Narrowing her eyes, she reviewed the fighting pit for a moment. Then she held her hand out to Gabriel. "Care to join me for a little warm-up?"
Gabriel glanced up at the wall, faces peering down at them. "Warm-up?" she queried.
"With those." Xena indicated the sticks with a grin. "Not these." She touched her sword.
The bard studied the weapons, then her partner. "We're doing this just to show off, aren't we?"
Xena nodded, watching the bard's face with quiet interest. The little smirk she saw was a bit of a surprise, but a welcome one. Without a further word, Gabriel took her hand and let the smirk expand to a grin as they threaded their way through the watching fighters. It wasn't a big area. Dennis and his boy took up quite a lot of space. But there was a corner available near the back of the pit, with two large torches almost overhead. Xena picked up two of their longer sticks, used by some of the men to emulate the long broadswords. She hefted them, then turned gracefully and tossed a light of the two in Gabrielle's direction as the bard joined her. Gabrielle caught it in one hand with a smooth, natural motion. She spread her hands out across its worn surface and let her body become used to the feel of it. Not that different from her staff, really. She tightened her fingers around the width and felt her body respond automatically, her balance changing and her focus shifting from the eyes watching her, tall leather-clad figure across from her. She felt a little... Gabrielle shifted her shoulders as a half-pleasant, half-startling shiver went down her spine, a sensual reaction she hadn't really expected. Was it a vestige from what she felt when Xena was fighting earlier? The warrior twirled her staff and settled into a wider stance, and it became irrelevant. Gabrielle recognized the opening move, and as Xena leaned forward and the stick came towards her, she let that interesting feeling flood through her. It started slow, almost teasing, as Xena's staff hit hers with light rhythmic taps. They circled each other in a pattern well known both to them, using the initial testing moves to loosen up. Gabrielle took a quick look behind her, judging the distance to the wall. Then she slid to one side and ducked in, moving the end of her staff in quickly towards her partner. Xena parried the move and eased past her. Gabrielle turned in exact time to meet her next stroke, deflecting it and leading into a return that Xena caught neatly on the end of her staff. It's almost like dancing. These weren't the hard, sharp strikes they often used during their practice. Gabrielle found herself enjoying the motion, the synergy between them as they traded strokes and stepped around each other, eyes locked. She threw a double, one end of the staff hitting the other, in very rapid succession. Xena grinned and wrapped her hand around her weapon, sweeping it backhanded as she crouched. Gabrielle set the end of hers down and blocked the sweep, then used the staff to vault up and over the returned stroke, pulling it up and whipping it backwards neatly. Ooh, almost got her. Gabrielle found her nifty move countered by a downward block, which trapped her staff and forced her momentum to carry her backwards toward Xena. Their bodies brushed, and she prolonged the contact for a moment, feeling the heat of Xena's skin against her. Then she untangled her weapon, brought the other end around just as Xena swept hers up. They met with a solid crack, hers on top, with Xena caught in an awkward position to prevent her from taking advantage of that. For a moment, Gabrielle hesitated, then spotted a pair of darkened blue eyes coaxing her on and followed through, bearing down with all her weight as Xena fought to hold her balance. She leaned over, pushing down, getting almost nose to nose with her partner, hardly aware of the crowd around them. Xena tilted her head slightly and kissed her. Then, with a surge of impossible strength,
She lifted Gabrielle's body right up off the ground, then threw her up overhead.
Whoa!
Somehow, she managed to keep her sense of up and down straight, and she tumbled in midair, righted herself that she landed on her feet a few steps away from Xena.
Oh, that was wicked!
She scolded her partner, suddenly wanting to do it again. Xena cradled her staff in the crook of her elbows and lifted her hands, motioning Gabrielle forward.
Come here and say that.
Gabrielle felt the laugh coming, and she let it bubble up out of her as she launched herself backwards toward Xena, and they started to spar in earnest. It was all quicksilver motion, and the rattle of the staves meeting, their hands moving so fast it was just a series of blurs. This time, Gabrielle almost welcomed the surge of feral joy she got through their link, allowing herself the sensual warmth it brought. It was wonderful. She took a breath and ducked, whirling to meet Xena's attack with a surge of motion. After a moment of blocking, she took a step back, giving way as her partner now stalked her with dangerous intent. She could hold Xena off, but never for long. The warrior worked her with consummate skill in a small space, a smile playing around her lips, and she forced Gabrielle into a last furious flurry of strokes, so fast the hits matched her thundering heartbeat, as she fought to keep up, to stay with her teacher's attack, holding up to the very end, when her breath was coming so fast and heavy she almost went lightheaded. And then the bout ended. With one last crack, their staffs crossed just in front of them, both of them leaning in, balancing with each other, so close they were breathing each other's exhalations. In all the heat, Gabrielle felt chills running up and down her back as she stood there, captured in Zita's gaze, sweat rolling off of her, totally unaware of their surroundings. Then Xena winked at her and smiled, and they relaxed. Gabrielle eased back off her toes and settled the end of the staff into the sand. Curling her hand around it, she swept her sweat-soaked hair back out of her eyes and looked around for the first time.
Well, she felt her eyes widen a little. Guess who stole back that old torchlight, huh?
Even the two men inside the ring, ostensibly fighting, were standing there, staring. Xena slung an arm over her shoulders and leaned back against the pit wall, as motion started again around them, and the bout continued.
You okay?
The warrior asked in an undertone. The chills were still roaring with the heat, both her own and now Xena's, where the warrior's body was pressed against her. But her heart rate was slowing, and Gabrielle took a couple of deep breaths, aware of the rising blush now that she realized what a spectacle they'd been.
I think so,
she murmured back.
Did that work?
Xena's eyes slid to her opponent's. Dennis was watching her, with dark, set anger plastered across his face.
Oh yeah, she said. It worked.
Her choice of weapons had been deliberate. She'd drawn the crowd's attention, disrupted Dennis's intention, and hadn't revealed more of her own technique with a sword. Now, all she had to do was beat him. The bell rang. It was time. To be continued. Well, that concludes episode number 101, and that is the part 13 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Make sure you check out her website at www.merwolf.com and enjoy reading along as I narrate. If you have any recipes, please send them in. I'll keep updating the Traveling Barge recipe corner. Also, if you have any song snippets you'd like to hear on the show, if you've got a movie recommendation or a book recommendation or even a story recommendation, send an email in to xena.uber@gmail.com. I'm also taking any announcements or dedications or going on in the community. I'd like to pass it on so that people can either check it out on the website or tune in on a TV or a radio station. That includes interviews on Spartacus or Xena or things like that, anything at all. So send them on in at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.